God's on it. That kind of separates it, you know, from good to extraordinary. You can be good without God. But God takes it to a whole nother level. And I just want to again say to all of those of you that are using your talent for the Lord, it sure is blessing my heart. I'm a receiving ministry, and I'm being ministered to with the gifts and the talent that God has given you, and I certainly appreciate you using it for the Lord. It certainly has prepared my heart for further worship. I've already been worshiping. I didn't start worshiping when I pulled up on the property this morning. Worship should begin way before that. We don't come to church to worship only. We bring worship with us to church, and it should continue as we're here, and I believe many of you do that. Well, I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Habakkuk. You say, "Preacher, what is happiness?" Happiness is sitting next to a person in church who knows where the book of Habakkuk is. At least it is for this morning. Habakkuk. And if you would turn to Habakkuk, most people know where Jonah is. And then you got Micah, then Nahum, and then you'll find our prophet, Habakkuk. Habakkuk is a unique prophet. And when I say unique, I mean he's one of a kind. So, well, we all are. Well, yeah, in many ways, you're right. But Habakkuk, in his prophecy, he done something, God chose him to do something different than any other prophet in the major and minor prophets. And if I count correctly, that's 17 recordings of prophecies through the prophets. 12 minor, what we call minor, and 5 major prophets. You know, we think of Jeremiah, and each one had a distinction, right? I mean, Jeremiah is known and thought of as the weeping prophet, right? I mean, he was a man that was just moved with compassion when he saw the sins of the people. It just stirred him in his heart, and it troubled him, and he wept. He's known as the weeping prophet, and thus he is the author of what we call the Lamentations of the Scripture. And then, well, there was Jonah. He is known as the reluctant prophet, right? Each prophet's known for something a little different. They're not all the same, even though they were all prophesying for the same God. It's kind of like us. We're all different, really, in our own way. We're unique. And then you have Ezekiel, right? I mean, Ezekiel was the dramatic prophet, right? God chose Ezekiel to act out a lot of his prophecies. And I mean, I don't know when's the last time you've read the book of Ezekiel, but some of the things that God asked Ezekiel to do was over the top. And yet Ezekiel was obedient to the voice of the Lord. And well, because of that, when I think of Ezekiel, I don't know about you, but I think of a dramatic prophet. Daniel, right? He was the prophet with the excellent spirit. What a man Daniel was, right? I mean, do you think about Daniel and the place that God put him and in the environment that God put him, and yet he was a man of great faith and prayer, and he made an impact on a godless world around him. And even the leadership, I mean, they knew Daniel's God is God. Amen? I mean, they proclaimed it. Well, now we come to Habakkuk. What's different? I could go right on down through the prophets. Listen, every one of them were unique. And you could too, in some way. Maybe not the same, you don't see the same thing in them that I see. But, you know, you do know that the prophets, God used different people, different backgrounds, but he brought forth the one truth that he was going to bring forth. Now, Habakkuk, he's the honest prophet, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But now, he done something different. Every other prophet prophesied warnings and future events to the nation of Israel. But now Habakkuk really doesn't do that. Habakkuk gets into this dialogue with God. It's a conversation between a man and God. And God records it and he lets us see it. I mean, you think about that for a moment. I don't use this word often, okay? But that's awesome. God records this conversation between this man who is his prophet. God called him to prophesy, and this man's struggling. I mean, he's living in Judah, and I don't know how much you know about the division of the tribes, the northern and the southern kingdoms and Judah, and how that, you know, they got into some trouble through some evil king, some leadership. It's really the leadership really let them down. And I'm going somewhere with this, okay? Because I'm just 100% sure that what I'm going to read to you today is very equivalent to the times that we're going in. And I think we can learn from what God said to Habakkuk. Habakkuk, this is what I want you to do. See, everybody wants to do something. There's no way that you could look on what our world's going through without wanting to do something. Right? I mean, I feel responsible. I want to do something. What can I do? You say, I'm just going to get on social media. Listen, if that's all you've got, now we've got to get beyond that. We've got to get out where the problems are. We've got to make contact with the problem. We've got to confront the situation. We have the truth. We have the remedy, brethren. We have it. And we've got to get out where the problem is and where the problems are, and we've got to take the truth and the remedy and the solution to the problem. Right? And so I want to get this out right away, all right? I've already told you, and I want you to do your own research. People need to research things. Don't be, and I don't think you are, I'm just saying, don't allow yourself, and God help me not to allow myself to be just a sheepish to where I just listen to what is said and narrative and rhetoric, and I just develop from rhetoric and narrative a mindset about something. Do your research. Pray. Let God guide and build thoughts in your mind and give you insight into what's going on in this world in which we live, brethren. It's deeper than what you're going to see on a news broadcast. It's deeper. You know why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is not just about what you can see in a human figure, whether it be a newscaster or whether it be someone riding in the street or someone standing for against social injustice. It's bigger than that, brethren. There is a diabolical plan behind the scenes. It's spiritual. And we know how to fight spiritual warfare. We live in a world that doesn't know how. But you and I have been given instructions. We have been given resources on how to fight this fight. And so we must get involved. But what are we to do? How are we to get involved? Well, I've already told you, don't join up with, and I want you to hear me out now. And just so you know where your preacher stands, I am against social injustice. I'm against racial injustice. I don't want to make a big political thing about this, but that man, Mr. Floyd, he was murdered. If you even have to have a discussion about that, something's wrong with you. The man was murdered. It's wrong. Now, the way that many people, not all people, but the way that many people responded to that, it's wrong. It's wrong. Two wrongs don't make a right. I learned that when I was knee-high to a grasshopper. What in the world's going on? You've done wrong, now I'm going to do wrong. Hey, that's not the answer, especially for a Christian. I challenge you to go to blacklivesmatter.com. Search their motive. Search them. They're for transgender. They're for sodomites. For those of you who don't know, and they use the word, that means queers. They're for it. They're blatant. They're against the family unit. Search it out. But now I want to also go on record and say this. Don't join the skinheads. The white supremacist group. They're a group of hate. They're a group of dividers. The neo-Nazis, listen to me. We're not choosing up sides. I've been made my decision on whose side I'm on. I'm on the Lord's side. I said I'm on the Lord's side. I'm not on some man's side or some organization's side. I'm on the side of the King of Glory, amen. And I'm going to fight, but I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. The way that God called me to fight. The way that every Christian ought to fight. There is a plan, and it is sponsored by Mr. Soros and all of his cohorts. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Get in the know. Know what's going on. And it's to divide and to conquer. And if you're not careful, it'll divide you from me and me from you and us from them. It'll even get into churches and begin to divide the brethren. Man. And things just, listen, it ought not be that way. Get in this book. Get on your knees. Get on your face. Get a hold of God and let God show you what's right. God will show you what's right. And I want to say that God is always right. I want to just further say, I know there's bad cops. I'm going to tell you about some of them this morning. But not every cop is bad. I know there's oppressed people. But not every black person is oppressed. I know there's privileged people. But not every white person is privileged. Listen to me. Someone has said it, and they said it well. It's not skin, it's sin. 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 Well, I ain't sin. Well, I hate what sin does to people. We live in an age where you can't even sit down and have a civil conversation with someone about differences. Now it seems like people have to shout each other down and call each other names and drag each other through the street if we disagree. Can I tell you, I can disagree with you and still love you? Amen. I can disagree with you and still respect you. Amen. And the moment that I get to the place to where I cannot do that, there's something wrong with me, not you. Amen. You say, well, I'm right, preacher. Well, then act like it. You know, I thought long and hard about even getting up here and doing this, but God gave me the green light. You know why I did? Because I don't have to defend myself. My track record speaks for itself, and yours ought to as a believer. You see these flags around here? They're not for decoration. We're trying to get every man, woman, boy, and girl saved in the grace of God, washed in the blood of Jesus, fit for the kingdom of God. And we're putting our money where our mouth is. Giving over $100,000 to missionary effort to get people saved, brethren. Saved! The most important thing in life is getting saved in the grace of God. Not a stimulus check or a pay hike. Or listen, we need to take this fight where God told us to take it, and that is spiritually, and take it to the lost. We're not careful, we'll get divided over things, and it is just amazing what can happen. We've got to stay focused. Now you say, preacher, what was all that about? It was about in times like these. In times like these. You're not going to agree with me on everything. I'm not going to agree with you on everything. Whether it be social, whether it be spiritual, whether it be financial, whether it be material, whether it be emotional, whether it be physical. Listen, we're just not going to agree on everything. And so as I look out in this world in which we live, and I see the diversity in which we live in, brethren, we have got to understand, we are a family. We are washed in the blood of Jesus. We have been born into the family of God. How many of you say, preacher, I have a sibling, and me and my sibling are siblings, we're exactly the same? Raise your hand. His siblings are going, no. He misunderstood the question. I'm just 100% sure. Why'd you say that, preacher? Because neither are we as spiritual siblings going to be exactly the same. You love your brothers and sisters? I love my brothers and sisters. Physically, my family, I love them. I do. We can be miles apart, but they never leave my heart. I love my brothers and sisters. I love my family. But you know, I love you. You're my brothers and sisters. I love my church family. I do. Now, I don't always agree with my brothers and sisters, and you don't either. Whether it be my blood brothers and sisters, or whether it be my blood of Jesus brothers and sisters, we're just not going to always agree. But there's some things that we need to stand tall together and fight the good fight. I want to talk to you about some things that's going on that I think we really need to address. And as your leader, as your pastor, I want to do my part in fulfilling the responsibility that we have in this world in which we live. It's coming unraveled at the seams, brethren. Coming unraveled at the seams. Say, preacher, I can't sleep at night. Well, I'm going to give you some good music to sleep by this morning. Oh, can I tell you, God is still in control.
Amen.
Still Habakkuk, he was twiddling his thumbs. He was pacing the floor. He was like majorly concerned that God wasn't listening. I'm going to give you a few words and I want you to write them down. And see if you see them when we read this, okay? Indifferent. See, Habakkuk thought God was indifferent. He did. He thought, God, you're indifferent. Inactive. Have you ever felt like God was inactive? Indifferent. Doesn't God care? Doesn't God care that our towns, our cities are being burnt, that looted, stealing? Doesn't God care that there's all these scare tactics and crooked and evil politicians and bad cops and evil people? Doesn't God care? You better believe God cares. And that leads to inactive. Well, if God cares, then why isn't God doing anything? Isn't God going to do something? When is God going to step out on the scene and show himself strong and fend for his people and justice and righteousness and what's right? Habakkuk was going through it. You see, what America's going through today is nothing. Listen, it's nothing new. There have been people that have been oppressed since the beginning of time. There have been people that have been privileged since the beginning of time. There have been bad people in leadership since the beginning of time. Listen to me now. These things are just, they're just building and mounting as we get closer. I won't finish, but I want to kind of give you some background and lay a foundation. Follow with me. I want you to notice the overall layout of the book so you can see what was on Habakkuk's heart. There's some words I want you to underline in your Bible. I promise you, if you'll follow me this morning, young and old, you'll get something that you can take home with you and build on. All right? For times like these, because you're going to need it. We're going to need this, brethren. Now, we always need what God says, but I really believe in a most relevant way, we're going to need what I'm going to give you this morning very soon. Already. But more so as this thing begins to escalate. Look at what he said in verse number 1 of chapter 1. The burden. I want you to underline that word because this is the way it begins. The burden. And so Habakkuk spent some time talking about his burden. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but I do want to ask this question. Are you burdened? I'm burdened. I'm moved. I'm concerned. I'm not scared. I'm concerned. I'm burdened. I'm burdened that so many people are lost in darkness, that so many people are deceived and buying into the plot of the devil and have become children of darkness and disobedience, and they're carrying out the works of darkness. That burdens me. I was telling Pastor David not long ago, one day this week, you know, and don't think that I'm one of these kind of people that's ready to die. I am ready to die. I just don't want to, but I am ready to. But you know who I'm burdened for? I'm not burdened for me. I'll be 60 years old in a few months. I've lived a great life. I've lived a great life. God has been so good to me. I mean, listen, I've lived almost like the dream life. Coming from what I come from to where I'm at, God has blessed me super abundantly. Had somebody told me as a young child that I was going to be a preacher and I was going to enjoy all the things, and I'm not talking about things you can see. I'm talking about in here. What God has done for me. The joy that God has put in my heart. The love that God has put in my heart for life. But I'm burdened for my children and grandchildren. 20s and 30s and our little grandchildren from an infant up to 10, 12 years old. If Jesus tarries, if Jesus doesn't come, brethren, our world is shaping up to become absolute havoc. We need God. I'm burdened. That ought to burden some people. That ought to cause me to skip some meals and lose some sleep. Out of concern, Habakkuk said, God, I want to be honest with you. Brethren, we've got to be honest. And I told you that Habakkuk was the honest prophet. And he's having a conversation with God. And he said, God, I want to start out and tell you that I'm burdened. God, I'm burdened. I have some questions. I don't understand why you're allowing some things to go on. God, I need you to do something to let me know that you're still in control. You ever been there? If you've been saved long enough, you have. The burden. The burden. Look at chapter number 2. Look at verse number 2. So chapter 1 is about the burden. And we might get to talk about that a little bit this morning. But we're not going to get in a rush. I want you to be equipped. And sometimes in order to be equipped, you've got to take time to suit up. So it's going to take some time. Look at chapter 2. Look at verse number 2. The Lord answered me and said, write. And here's the second thing I want you to underline. The vision. So chapter 1 is about the burden. And Habakkuk said, God, I'm burdened. I'm moved. I'm stirred. Something needs to happen. And God, I just feel like there's something I can do. Now, God, I want you to do something. But I want you to give me some instructions on what I can do. I like that. I like that. Would to God that some folks at Fellowship Baptist Church would step up and say, God, we're burdened. God, would you guide us? Would you burden us? Would you instruct us? Would you show us what we are to do in this world in which we live that's coming unraveled? I don't want to just sit by and watch it happen on TV. I don't want to just sit by and watch it video after video on social media and watch my world, watch my family, watch the people that are out there in this world, watch my fellow countrymen and the folks even around the world. I don't want to just sit and watch them come unraveled and be gripped in sin. God, I'm burdened. I want to do something. What can I do? God said, well, I'll tell you, the vision. The vision. You have a vision? Has God told you what to do? God said, I want you to write down, Habakkuk. I want you to write down some things. And he said, this is what I want you to do. We need to get our marching orders. And they don't need to come from Washington. They don't need to come from some organization or group. They need to come from this book right here. The vision. Now, the burden, if you'll look at it, the burden is what he said. It's what Habakkuk said. And we're going to see what he said in just a moment. If you'll look at verse number 2 of chapter 1, he said, oh, Lord, how long? We're going to look into what he said. See, he expressed his burden. Sometimes folks walk around and they're carrying the burden. I think it does us good to express the burden. He expressed it. And so, When the burden, this is what he said. The vision is what he saw. God showed Habakkuk some things. Can I tell you, God will show us some things if we really want to see them. Now, we might not like what we see. But God will use what he shows us to burden us and prepare us for what he has for us to do. Because of the burden. Did you get that? The vision. See, Habakkuk, I'm just sure of, if you go over just for a moment, look in chapter 3 and verse number 2, I believe it is. Habakkuk was saying, God, give us revival. You know, I want revival. And I don't want it just so we can rejoice and be happy. I want it because God knows my heart. I want people to experience God. Experience God. The presence and the power of Almighty God. I want God to be glorified and magnified. And that's what revival does, brethren. That's what revival does. But you know what? God didn't give revival. We'll see in just a moment where he sent the enemy and ransacked their city and took their people in bondage. See, what God shows us, we might not want to see. I think we might be seeing some things that God's showing us right now. I think 2020, that 2020 is coming right into view, amen? We're getting some 2020 from God, all right? A perfect view of the shape of this old world. We're getting some 2020 with the viruses and with the corruption in government, not just our government, but around the world, the collusion and the hatred, the hate-filled people that have been elected into office. Brethren, we're seeing it, and then you see the hatred. There's no way you can look at what's going on in our world today and not see hatred. Hate-filled people, full of hatred, beating people like animals, treating people like animals. We've done it to ourselves. We've taught that generation that they come from apes, but we want them to act like humans. It's not going to happen. They're acting like the animals that we taught them they came from. And then we wonder why. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. The burden. Chapter 2, look in verse number 2 and underline the vision. You see that? Now look in chapter 3. The burden was what he said. The vision was what he saw. Look at the way chapter 3 begins. A prayer. I want you to underline that. A prayer. So here's the main subjects of Habakkuk's conversation with God. All right? There are words that, they're small words, a burden. I mean, Christians, we use this word frequently, right? You know what it is to get under a burden as a believer, don't you? You know what it is to fall under a burden for somebody you know that if they don't get saved, they're going to die in their sin and go to hell? That if God doesn't do a miracle and maybe one of your brother, your sisters or brothers in Christ's life, that they have a disease, and if God doesn't get involved, you're so burdened that God would bring healing to their body, that if God doesn't, they're going to die and go out into eternity. Even though they're going to heaven, you're going to miss them greatly. A burden, we know what it is. Maybe a child that's gone wayward and they become prodigal and you're burdened. We Christians know what a burden is. Habakkuk had a burden. And he talked about it. Sometimes I'm finding as a pastor, we don't like to talk about our burdens anymore. There was a time when Christian people came together and we discussed the burden that God laid heavy on our hearts so that others. I appreciate Pastor David last week, or I think it was last week, after I preached, he came forward after I said, "Are all hearts and minds clear?" And he said he was not going to, but God had burned him at the altar. And of course, the old devil, he works on him just like he does me and just like he does you. Oh, don't tell people that. Don't waste people's time. You know, they're ready to go home. Well, listen, if we can't listen to a man share his burden, we're missing it. We're missing it. There was a time when people came and they wanted people to share their burden. They wanted to share their burden. Why? Because we had absolute confidence in the power of prayer, and we knew that God would answer our prayer and hear our burden. But we've quit sharing our burden. We've quit sharing our burden. Habakkuk said, "God, I want to share my burden." And then God said, "Habakkuk, I want you to write a vision." And then the prayer. These are words that we're very familiar with. Now, I want you to notice something special about this prayer, and then we'll say a few words about in chapter 1, and we'll talk a little bit more about it tonight. Okay? Look, if you would, in chapter 3, there's a very interesting word about this prayer. Look, if you would, it says in chapter 3, verse 1, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon, look at that word, Shigionoth. Now that is not a word that we use often. A burden? Yes. A vision? Yes. A prayer? Yes. But not this. Now, with some help of just researching and looking and digging, and the Scripture as always. Can I tell you something I am so thankful for? Scripture interprets Scripture. Aren't you glad for that? I am so glad that Scripture interprets Scripture. So I began to look and I said, what is this? And then as I read on down, at least twice, maybe more, I see in verse number 3, right in the middle, Selah. And then if you look in the last word of verse number 13, Selah. These are musical terms. Okay? They're musical terms, Selah. It's a rest. It's a pause. Maybe a repeat, depending on the type of music, all right? And the place of it. Now look here, if you would. Look at the last verse, the last part of the last verse, chapter 3, verse 19. The last part says, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Okay, Shigonoth was some type of instrument, and I believe it was a stringed instrument. Now, I didn't say it was. I don't know. But from all the research I've done, it is. And it appears that Habakkuk is alluding to that here. Now, why is that important? Because here's a man, and don't you miss this, and we'll build on this tonight. Here's a man that looks around him, as we shall see in just a moment, and on every direction, on every hand, he's seeing nothing but what you're seeing when you turn on the news or get on social media. Hate, violence, injustice, the very lowest form of human action that you could even imagine. It causes you to say, what in the world is going on with our world? And he went to God and he said, God, I don't know how to deal with this. And God said, I'm going to give you a vision. And as a result of that vision, in chapter 3, he said, I'm going to write a prayer in the form of a song. I feel like singing. Amen. Amen. So the burden is what he said, and we'll see that. The vision is what he saw, but the prayer is what he sang. He sang his prayer. When's the last time you sang a prayer? God really done something in this man's life. God showed Habakkuk who was in control. You listening to me? Now, it's easy for us to say, oh, I know who's in control. That's easy. But how are you living? See, that's the way I live, the way I act, that is telling who I really believe is in control. Not what I say, right? The way I live, it puts it out there. This is who I think's in control. We started out this morning service. I don't talk to the musicians. I rarely talk to them about what to sing. Occasionally, I'll request a song. Okay? Now, don't start turning your request into the special singers, okay? I'm the pastor, and I have that privilege. That's a new one, pastor privilege. Amen. It's rare. But every now and then, God will lay a song on my heart, and I'll say, hey, look, if you could and you would. And if they do, then great. If they don't, I don't get all upset. I don't have my family over for weeks, and we don't. But no hard feelings. A song. A song. We open up this service, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. When's the last time you just wanted to sing to God and say, Lord, I need you. God, we need you. God, we're so grateful you're faithful. God, we're so thankful that we have access into your presence. I just want to sing to you that I know that though it seems like that God is nowhere to be found and that you're indifferent and that you're inactive and it appears that you're even insensitive to what's going on. I know you're in control. And I just want to sing to you. That's what happened. So let me give you a few things out of chapter 1 and I'll be through. We'll pick up here tonight and we'll spend some time here. So what was the burden? What caused this man to have a burden? What do you think is going on in America today? I'm going to give you some words. I want you just to highlight them. I gave you some words to underline. Highlight these, all right? See if you think that you experienced this past week. You ready for them? Chapter 1, verse 1. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, How long shall I cry? I've been praying a long time, Lord. I've been crying out a long time. This world in which we live is broken. The system, it's broken. People are not honoring the system. People are not honoring God. People are not honoring one another. God, I'm crying out. I'm burdened about what I see and what I'm experiencing. How long shall I cry? And thou wilt not, look at that exclamation mark here. You know what Habakkuk thought? He thought what you thought sometimes. He thought what I think sometimes. God, are you listening? God, I'm praying, but nothing's happening here. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. I mean, I prayed about this coronavirus, and God, I asked you to use it to draw people to you, and I just was so sure that you were going to do something on the backside of this, and you did. But it wasn't what I was looking for. God, I wanted everything to have a happy ending, and I wanted people to start coming to you in groves and being saved, and our churches filling up, and people acknowledging God again. But instead, we're killing one another, and we're lawless. We're breaking every law. We're destroying people's property. We're destroying people's lives. We're destroying people. How long, O Lord, shall I cry? And thou wilt not hear. That's a cry of desperation. You see that exclamation mark? I mean, here's a man that he's not casually praying now. He's not driving down the road. Don't you misunderstand the burden. Sometimes I wonder if we know what a burden is anymore. This guy's, listen, he's not chomping his gum and sipping his drink driving down 29. Listen to me. I'm not saying you can't get a prayer through chomping gum and driving down 29, but I'm telling you that's not the prayer that Habakkuk was offering up. Amen. We need some people to get in the secret place and get under such a burden. And I'm included in this, brethren. I'm included in this where we can't eat or sleep or have any kind of peace in our heart until we hear from heaven. Man. He said here, even cry, I challenge you. The word cry is used twice in verse number 2, two different words. This cry, the second one, even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. This is desperation, and I wrote it down. I went and I wanted to see what was going on here. This particular word, cry here, it's from a heart that is broken. It's disturbed. It's almost angry. God, why aren't you doing something? I told you Habakkuk was honest. Some folks can't bring themselves to that type of honesty. They feel that way, but they'll never share it. We never share our burdens. We just become kind of reclusive and so private that we can't help one another anymore. I'm not saying spill your guts to everybody, but listen, there's just times that we ought to come together and begin to share and bear one another's burdens. Isn't that what the Bible says, brethren? It is. Galatians 6, check it. Violence. You see that word in verse number 2? Underline it. Look at verse number 3. Why dost thou show me iniquity? That's a word we're seeing a lot of. So we have violence, number 2, iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance. You know what that word means? I searched it out, in the state of misery. You meeting people these days that are living in that state? The state of misery. This is what Habakkuk's seeing. Violence, iniquity, grievance for spoiling. Boy, we've been seeing a lot of that. You know what spoiling is, don't you? It's plundering. It's stealing. It's what rioters do when they do not riot peacefully, when they loot and steal. That's where the word spoil comes from. You take what belongs to another. For spoiling and violence are before me, and they are that raise up strife. You think there's people behind the scenes just stirring the pot? There are that raise up strife, look at this one, and contention. Let's pit them against one another. Let's pit them against one another. Let's stir it up. So where every time they flip on a television, a radio, a social media outlet, that's all they're going to hear. Habakkuk said, you don't need Facebook to have that to happen. You don't need Instagram. You don't need Fox News and CNN to have that to happen. It happened in this day without any of that. Why? Because the devil, his devices have not changed. We're not ignorant of his devices. You see these words? I hope you underlined them. Violence, iniquity, grievance, spoiling, strife, contention. And here's the big one. And this will be the final point this morning. Look at verse number 4. Therefore, the law is slack in justice. And I am convinced that this is where it began. The reason all of those other things were permitted and prevalent is because of crooked politicians, crooked leadership, evil kings, if you will, briberies. You listening? You can just about pay your way out of anything today. Don't make me mad. Because there's no telling what I'd do to you. And if I got enough money, I could pay myself out of it. You know what I'm saying, so? I'd get me a crooked lawyer that's greedy, a filthy lucre, and he can get before a greedy, crooked judge, and we can get off on about anything. You listening to me? It was happening in that day. We're living it in this day. It's everywhere. Can I tell you, money sees no color. It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, red, yellow. You can pay yourself out of anything. You listening? People don't care. People don't care what color it is that's handed to the money, as long as what the color you're handing them is green. That's what's going on right here. Does it sound a lot like our day? Habakkuk saying, God, I'm burdened. This is terrible. When are you going to do something? He said in verse number 4, the law is slack. Judgment doth never go forth, right? People don't have to pay the price for the wrong they do anymore. They just do wrong and nothing seems wrong with it. I think we just saw that this past week. All of a sudden, the coronavirus went away. You don't have to social distance. You can, do anything you want with anybody you want, anytime you want, any way you want. Right? Yes. Then he said here, he said, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. It's the good guys that are evil guys. Right? I was having this conversation with a young lady from our church where now there's people saying it's Christians' fault. It's either the president's fault or the church's fault, right? Right? It's Christians' fault. Yeah. So what are you going to do? God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I want you to go home and read this. He said, look at verse number 5. He said, behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. Here's what he said I'm going to do. He said, I will work a work. I'm going to do this. Okay, I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. He said, I'm going to tell you, but you won't believe it when I tell you. You ever said that to somebody or had somebody say you that? Man, I got to tell you something. You're not going to believe this. That's what God just told Habakkuk. I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to believe this. Though I'm going to tell you, you're not going to believe it. You know why? You don't want to believe it. You don't want to believe it. You've got fixed in your mind what you want. You really don't want me to get involved, Habakkuk. You want me to do things your way. And as long as I do it your way, you're okay with me. But when I don't fit your little prescription and feel your little way, then all of a sudden I'm insensitive. I'm indifferent. I'm inactive. Right? So why do I feel these ways? The same reason Habakkuk felt this way. Maybe it's the reason you do. I don't know what's in your heart. Now, it really picks up And I hope you'll come back tonight. It really picks up. God is getting ready to really show himself strong. But I had to lay that foundation because I really feel that there's some people, I think a majority of people, in some way is feeling a little bit what we're feeling here. What we looked at with Habakkuk. What are we going to do? Habakkuk, what are you going to do? Habakkuk's asking God, God, what are you going to do? And God said, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Now, what are you going to do when I tell you what I'm going to do? Right? Habakkuk done the right thing. He did. And we'll get into chapter number 2 a little bit tonight. We'll finish up chapter 1, get into chapter 2, and see exactly what God did and what Habakkuk did when God did what he did. Because I firmly believe, and if I didn't believe it, I wouldn't preach it to you. This is what we need. We need to do what God told Habakkuk to do. And if we will, we're going to see the strong arm of the Lord. But now if we just continue to follow business as usual, then I think we're going to continue to get the world as usual. Circumstances and situations as usual. Let's stand to our feet. Well, you've been very attentive.